Thursday Night Tailgate, where the spotlight is always on the positive. Tune in Thursday night from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time to hear your favorite NFL legends, players, and coaches sharing their stories. Now back to Chris and Bob.
I wouldn't joke about anything else that happened to you tonight.
All right, now joining us here on Thursday Night Tailgate is former offensive lineman and a guy you've probably heard on Sirius XM, Westwood One Radio, and hosting his own podcast, and that's Ross Tucker. Let me give you some background on Ross. He is from Wyomissing, Pennsylvania, which is over near Reading in the eastern part of the state. He played his college ball at Princeton, where he was a four-year starter. As a freshman, he started at defensive end, then moved over to guard the following season and started there for the remaining 3 years he was there. He was named All-Ivy League in 2000, and he was awarded the Dr. Henry Romer McPhee Award, which is given annually to the Princeton player who qualifies under durability and fortitude. And he was a two-time academic All-American. He was signed as an undrafted free agent by the Washington Redskins in 2001, and he played in the league from 2001 to 2007 for the Redskins, Cowboys, Bills, and Browns. Retired from the league in 07 following a spinal cord injury, but quickly started writing for Sports Illustrated. 2010, he became the host of the Morning Kickoff Show with Ross Tucker on Sirius XM NFL Radio. 2013, he became the lead NFL columnist for the Sporting News. He's currently a commentator for Westwood One Radio, as well as handling college games for NBC Sports. He's also the host of the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, which you can find online at rostucker.com. And we are thrilled he is with us tonight here on Thursday Night Tailgate. Hey, Ross, Chris and Bob here. Thanks for coming on the show.
Welcome back.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thanks for having me, fellas. How are you?
Oh, we're fantastic. Ross, how are things going for you?
You know what? Just gearing up, man. I'm trying to enjoy sort of the calm before the storm a little bit once the season gets going. I mean, even, you know, right now it's nice. I can't believe that the Ravens rookies reported yesterday. That, like, gives me the chills. And I don't mean good chills. But, yeah, I mean, because once the season starts, I'm doing, you know, the Raw Sucker Football Podcast 5 times a week. I'm doing the Fantasy Feast, Even Money, you know, a college draft. And then I'm usually doing an NFL game and a college game every weekend. So it's a lot better than it was as a player in terms of the physical part of it, but it's still a grind. So I'm trying to enjoy, you know, whatever time I have left before the season comes, because it's a different kind of grind for me now.
Ross, I want to start our time with you tonight by going back to your college days. And I'm curious, how did you end up, you know, going over to Princeton? Where was that in the selection, and who else was tugging on you to try to get you to go there?
Yeah, sure. So I was a really late bloomer, and like most kids in Pennsylvania, I grew up wanting to play for Penn State. But I think in 10th grade, guys, in the program, I rounded up to 6'1", 180. But I was really, you know, probably 6 foot, a buck 72. And then my junior year, I kind of shot up and I was almost 6'4", but was still only 210 pounds. And I look back at some of the videos and pictures and I look like a beanpole. So as a result, my options were all at the FCS level. You know, none of the FBS schools were really interested in me. So back then it was called 1AA, obviously. And I had pretty good grades and test scores. So I realized pretty early that the Ivy League, you know, might be a possibility for me. So it really came down to Princeton, Harvard, and then I had scholarships to William and Mary and Delaware. So those were the four. You know, my sister had gone to Delaware. My uncle was on Tubby Raymond's national championship team at Delaware. So, and Delaware football, you know, as you guys know, that's a big deal in the state of Delaware, a really big deal. But ultimately, my sister said, if you can go to Princeton or Harvard because of football, you better not come to Delaware. So I looked at those schools, and I remember distinctly thinking, well, I'm never going to make the NFL, so I might as well, you know, get the best education I can. And at the time, my junior high school, Princeton won the Ivy League in football. They beat UCLA in basketball. It was an hour and a half from my house, and it's still to this day is the most beautiful campus I've ever seen. And I just thought that's where I want to be. You know, Harvard was tough to turn down. You know, full ride to William & Mary would have been nice as well. But ultimately, you know, Princeton was the place for me.
And Ross, you mentioned education. You're a two-time academic All-American at Princeton, which is a tremendous accomplishment. So I'm curious, how were you able to balance the demands of keeping your grades at such a high level, again, at an Ivy League school, then learn the playbook, go to practice, do your workouts, and then try to sneak in a little social life on top of that? How did you balance all of that?
Well, a couple things. Number one, I learned which classes to take and which ones not to. I can tell you that much right now. My GPA would not have qualified me for that honor if I took anything science or engineering or anything like that. Holy cow, those kids were smart. So my worst semester was freshman year, first semester, because I just picked the classes out of the book they send you. It's like, oh, that sounds cool. That sounds fun. That is a bad idea. If there's any high school kids listening, don't just sign up for classes. Ask somebody first. So after that, I kind of figured out, you know, the classes that would be more my style. And, you know, one of the things I'm fortunate is that writing really comes naturally for me. So I wasn't really good at problem sets. You know, science and engineering were not really my thing, but I could write. So I majored in politics. I took a lot of classes where the grade was based on two or three papers. And then, you know, I'd meet with my teacher before I handed the paper in. I'd usually hand it in early. And I, you know, kind of just, that was the natural thing for me. I didn't really get A's because it's almost impossible to get A's, but I got a lot of A minuses and B pluses. And so that was good enough for me to have a pretty good GPA when it was all said and done. But you have to pick the right classes, and you got to make it a priority. I've always been a morning guy, and so I thought that was kind of a competitive advantage for me because nobody in college is, but I'd still get up at 6 and have 2 or 3 hours to get stuff done before I go to class.
And Ross, you ended up going back to Princeton in 08 and did color commentary for Princeton football with Ed Benkin. I'm curious, what's it like going back to your alma mater? Now you're doing color commentary, and you're doing it with a guy like Ed Benkin.
Well, it was awesome because what happened was I went to the NFL's first ever broadcasting boot camp, and I kind of – so my dad's 5'9", 170, guys. So, like, I grew up never thinking I'd be an NFL offensive lineman or anything close to it. I actually wanted to write for Sports Illustrated. Or maybe be like a broadcaster for ESPN. I figured I'd try to go to Syracuse and go that route. That was a passion of mine. But then when you get in the NFL, you know, everybody talks about getting in the media. Everybody talks about being a broadcaster. So I had different internships every offseason. I always treated football like a temp job. You know, I interned for Merrill Lynch a couple times. I was with the Cowboys. I actually interned for Roger Staubach's commercial real estate company. So I figured, you know what, I'm gonna use this time as a player to figure out what I might like to do and what I definitely don't want to do when I'm done. But then going into 07, which ended up being my last year, the NFL had a broadcasting boot camp, and I went to it, and things went pretty well. And I remember thinking, well, maybe I'll probably do something in finance, and then maybe I can just do the Princeton games on the weekend or whatever. And Howie Denaroff, who is the executive producer over at Westwood One Sports, he said, you know, you should really try to get the Princeton gig. So I reached out to Prince and I said, hey, I'm on the bubble this year. If I don't make it, I'd love to do the games. And they said, oh, we would love to have you. That would be awesome. So I think it paid $150, and I was able to talk him up to get $200. I ended up getting hurt during the third preseason game. I herniated my C5, C6 on the wedge. And so I bruised my spinal cord. And so I said to the doctor, I'm like, well, what do you think? He said, well, I think you're 28. You went to Princeton and you should get a real job. So I thought, okay. He said, once your spinal cord's involved, it's just not. And I thought, okay, that's fine. Because I don't know anybody would have signed me after that anyway. So I ended up being able to do the Princeton games while I was on injured reserve with the Redskins. And the funny thing is, you know, I drove up to Dartmouth and drove to Brown. I mean, my mileage reimbursement was more money than I got to call the game. But it was a great way to get started. It was a great way to kind of get back into Princeton because, you know, the 7 years I was playing, you know, you're just kind of out of the loop. You don't have a chance to go back to games because I had a game every weekend. So it was kind of a cool way to get ingratiated back with the university to do the games, to feel the spirit again. And it was a great learning ground for me. And I ended up getting a bunch of opportunities as a result of that. So it was great for me. And it's really where a lot of guys get their start, is kind of sideline, or, you know, maybe even in the booth with their college program, or even high school sometimes.
Bob, questions for Ross?
It's a pleasure to speak with you again, Ross. And I love to talk to the Ivy League guys because I'm at all the Yale home games, Ross. And I know you played all 4 years at Princeton, and I know you came up to New Haven a couple times. And I just wanted you to give us some memories of the rivalry itself, the trip to New Haven, and is it as intense as most people think it is?
Well, great questions, Bob. So, first of all, it's crazy because ever since 2007, I've been doing Ivy League games. It was first radio, and then it's TV. So I get up to New Haven a couple times a year. So we'll have to connect because, you know, I do the Harvard Yale game every year, and I do, you know, 6-7 Ivy League games, and it's always at least one or two at Yale. And I have two interesting experiences from playing at Yale. It was my sophomore year and my senior year. And for whatever reason, as a player, Penn and Harvard were the games that I thought were bigger rivalry games. Now, Penn and Harvard at the time were perennially the two best teams in the league. Penn is kind of where I'm from, outside of Philly, and we always look at those guys as the dirtbags of the Ivy League. So there was a rivalry there, and they look at us as like the snobs or the uppity, I don't know, whatever. And then, you know, Harvard, I almost went there, but it's definitely ratcheted up for Penn, Yale, and Harvard. And for the alums, especially the alums from the older guys, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, the Yale game was by far their most important game. I mean, that's the game they wanted to talk about. Sophomore year, we had a chance to stay in the Ivy League race, and I think we threw 5 or 6 interceptions, 2 of which got returned for touchdowns, and we still only lost by like a score. So that was really frustrating. And then my senior year is by far the best memory I had in my 4 years at Princeton. Unfortunately, we had a rough time when I was there. You know, we didn't have a winning season in my 4 years. And my junior and senior seasons, we were 3-7 both years, which is really tough. Especially, I went to a high school where, you know, we didn't lose 7 games my whole career. So that was difficult. But senior year, it looked like we were going to lose again. And there was probably a minute left. And we threw a pass to our fullback on the sideline. He broke a tackle and went like 50 yards. Then we're at the 35-yard line thinking we got a great chance to set up for a field goal, for the game-winning field goal, and we threw a ball into the end zone to our sophomore receiver, Chisholm Opara, who most recently was a scout and an executive with the Browns and actually had signed with the Ravens out of college. He went up and caught it, and that knocked Yale out of the Ivy League race, and it was by far my best memory as a college football player and something that, you know, we cherish to this day. So I'm glad you brought that up, Bob, because there's a lot of bad college memories. I'm glad you brought up a good one.
Yeah, it's fascinating. Whoever Yale plays, it's just amazing. And again, I'm there every Saturday, and I hope we can connect down the road. But back to your injury, Ross, I mean, you are the poster boy for a guy that had the education to fall back on. Not only was it a college education, it was an Ivy League education. Do you get a chance, Ross, to talk to young people about the importance of a college degree? I mean, I'm sure you come across young athletes that say, I'm going to be the next Ross Tucker. I'm going to play in the NFL. And the odds against that happening are just astronomical. So talk more about that.
I do. And it's funny because I actually, 11 years ago, while I was still a player, I started an athletic recruiting service. It's called Go Big Recruiting, because I was frustrated that I sent my VHS tape, to show you how old I am, to 35 colleges. I only heard back from like half of them. And I was pretty good. You know what I mean? I had a bunch of offers. So to only hear back from half, I thought that there had to be a better way. So I've kind of been involved in the recruiting space for a long time. And I always tell kids a couple things. You know, what you can really get out of your football ability is you might be able to get some scholarship money. But you also might be able to go to an academic institution that you wouldn't get into based solely on your academic merit, right? So the valedictorian of my high school, my senior year, did not get into Harvard or Princeton, and I did. And the reality is they could make the whole class valedictorian if they wanted to, but they're looking for people with a certain standard of GPA and SATs, but that can also bring something extra special to the university. And for me, it was football. So I highly encourage all of the kids I talk to use football to be able to go to an academic institution that otherwise they might not have gotten into based solely on their academic merit, and to use that. You know, that's one of the gifts that they've been given. That's one of their skills. And then you get a chance to graduate. It doesn't have to be an Ivy League school. I mean, you know, I've had kids go to Williams and Amherst and the NESCAC. I've had kids go to Johns Hopkins and Franklin and Marshall. And there's so many amazing opportunities out there. Carnegie Mellon's another one. And I constantly harp on that, because if you go to one of those schools, you're really putting yourself in a great position to be able to maximize what you do after college. I mean, I think I had 3 or 4 Wall Street offers my senior year of college. I actually accepted a job with Lehman Brothers, which would have been on Wall Street. And thank goodness Marty Schottenheimer signed me as an undrafted free agent in 2001, because I'm glad I didn't have to do that. I'm glad I got to do football instead. But yeah, that's something I talk about all the time. And really, it's all about priorities. You know, I didn't enjoy, I know a lot of people love school. I wasn't like that. I didn't enjoy school nearly as much as I did football, but I knew that I did not want to look back on high school or college and say, I wish I had done this. Maybe I could have gotten into that college, or I wish I had done that. Maybe I could have gotten that job offer. I knew I wanted to try to reach my potential, whatever that may be.
Ross, just a couple of more before we let you go. And I'm curious, I get your newsletter, which is fantastic, by the way. And in it this week, you talked about a situation where you and LeVar Arrington got into it during practice that might have ended your career a different way if things had gone a little bit differently. Do you mind sharing that story?
No, it's great to hear that, by the way. Anybody that wants, just go to rostucker.com and scroll down and you can sign up. I only send an email out probably every couple months. And usually, as you know, it's just when something happens in the NFL that triggers a story from my playing days, I think people might enjoy. And, you know, I saw at the end of the Giants mini camp where Will Hernandez, the rookie left guard, got into a scuffle with Snacks Harrison, the D tackle, and Snacks got his helmet off and swung it at him, which obviously is very dangerous. And that reminded me of 2002. You know, I was my second year in the NFL with Steve Spurrier's Washington Redskins, and I was practicing really hard because I knew that I was kind of on the hot seat. I had played poorly against the Eagles in a Monday night game, and I knew I was on thin ice, so I was practicing hard. And LeVar Arrington really didn't like it. I think he was frustrated with some other things that were going on schematically, and he kept telling me to calm down, and I just kept telling him, I can't. I mean, if I calm down, I'm going to get fired. And so he was coming off the edge on a play, and I saw it, and I knew it was my job to kick out and pick him up. And it was one of those deals where I knew before the play that we were going to get in the fight. I just knew he was mad. And as soon as I blocked him, he was going to start swinging. And so I kicked out, I got him, and he just started swinging haymakers. And so I was hitting him as hard as I could. And I thought I was getting the better of it. I'm giving him body punches and hitting him in the head. Next thing I know, my helmet's off and LeVar has it in his hands, and he swings my helmet at me as hard as he could. Thank gosh he missed, because those things are 10 pounds. He had a tremendous amount of force. I mean, that would have been real, real bad. Unfortunately for me, when they came over and the guys broke up the fight and they pinned our arms down, they pinned my arms down before they pinned LeVar's arm down. So he got a right hook at me when I couldn't protect myself, right in the side of my head, left ear, and split open my ear. So I had, you know, blood coming down the whole rest of practice. My offensive line coach wasn't happy with me because he felt like I lost the fight, I guess. I don't know. So I practiced the rest of the practice. I go in to see the trainer, and my ear is still like gushing. So they put 3 stitches in my ear because LeVar split it open. And then my hand is all swollen and bruised, and they thought I might have broken it. So then I had to get x-rays on my hand because even though I had a glove on, they thought it might have been broken from punching LeVar in the helmet. So I'll never forget, I'm 23 years old. My wife's working for J.P. Morgan. I call her on my drive home, and she said, well, how was your day? I said, well, babe, kind of a tough day at the office. You know, kind of a tough day at the office.
Ralph, before we let you go, and you do such a tremendous job in the broadcast booth now, let our listeners know, how can they hear you coming up this fall? Tell them all the places that you're going to be, plus about your podcast.
Yeah, well, I appreciate that. So I'm always on Sirius XM, Channel 88, every morning, the NFL channel. I enjoy that. During this fall, I'll definitely be doing games for Westwood One Sports. I'll also be doing some games for some other entities, but I haven't signed those yet. So just stay tuned on my Twitter or Facebook, at Ross Tucker NFL, or Facebook.com/RossTuckerNFL, and I'll get you some more info on that. And then, yeah, the podcasts are big for me. I really enjoy it. I do the Ross Tucker Football Podcast daily. I do the Fantasy Feast with Evan Silva from Roto World, from people that are into fantasy football. If you like to bet the games, I've got Steve Fezzik from pregame.com on the Even Money Podcast, and I was up close to 40 units last year, which is cool. Maybe I should actually bet the games rather than just giving the advice out, because I was up quite a bit. And then I also do the College Draft Podcast to preview the best prospects in the biggest games every weekend. So there's a bunch. They're all available, you know, wherever you find podcasts or over at rostucker.com. And obviously, I'd really appreciate it if you guys downloaded a couple of them, gave it a shot, and let me know what you think.
It's fantastic stuff, Ross. We can't thank you enough for taking time out of your night to come here and be a part of the show. We hope you'll come back and do it again soon. I know you're very busy. You got a lot of things on your schedule, but I'm sure I know I've got a lot of other questions. I'm sure Bob does too. We'd love it if you can come back and join us sometime.
Well, it would be my pleasure. What you guys are doing is great. I mean, just seeing some of the other guys you have on tonight, so cool. Some of the names and some of the players, what you guys have done and what you've built is really, really special. And I'm glad I got a chance to be a part of it.
We are too. Thanks so much, Ross. All the best to you and your family. We look forward to catching up with you again soon.
Likewise, guys. Take care.
Take care. Good night.
All right. Take care, Ross. That's the great Ross Tucker. And again, RossTucker.com is the name of his site, and it's the Ross Tucker Football Podcast. It's great stuff, Bob. And like I said, I've got dozens more questions that I'd like to get Ross's input on. I hope we get to get him back soon.
Yeah, such a well-rounded guy, Chris, and very receptive to the show. And we love him.